This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers on the Tantalk Network, where you can find help and hope with me, your guest host, Becky Moultrie, and our awesome producer, Ed on the boards.
Happy Wet Friday.
It is. You know, Ed, it seems like every time I come in and host for Linda, it's thunderstorming and the board gets struck. So we're just going to say a quick little prayer to God. Lord, Ed doesn't need the board to go down
rain. That's all. So I think we're safe this time.
It's rain. Okay, good. Good. No lightning, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. All right. So I'm so glad you decided to spend some time with us today. We really appreciate it. We've got a very special guest in the house, Debbie Selsavage with Coping with Dementia.
Yeah, thank you. Welcome.
Yeah, we're glad to have you here with us. Linda is off being a caregiver this weekend, this week. She is up with her stepmom, Heidi. Heidi had some surgery, and you know, this is something that you caregivers out there, ask for family help, because that's, you know, Linda heard the call and said, well, let me come up and help. So she took a week and she flew up to New York, and then somebody else is tagging with her. She's staying till Sunday. Somebody else is tagging with her on Monday, and they're helping out while she's there.
It's really great when family pitches in.
Oh my gosh, what a blessing it is. And oh, can you imagine the whirlwind Linda's creating up there today? New York City's never seen anything like Linda Burhans. That's a great thing. So
she probably has better weather than we do. Not as hot.
Probably. So, but that's okay. It's a beautiful day to be in Florida, and hopefully the rain won't make it too humid.
No.
Well, Debbie, you've got a new book out.
We do.
I wanted to hear, it's what, the ABC of Dementia?
Yep, it's named after our pretty signature workshop, the ABC of Dementia, where we spend about 2 hours with family caregivers or whoever wants to learn about Alzheimer's and forms of dementia. But we give them symptoms, characteristics. But we also do some role play, which lots of people like, because my partner Ed gets to hit me as if he was living with dementia. And we explain some of the preconceived notions that people have about dementia. We explain that that's not always true, that they don't just become combative because they want to be. They may be a little bit combative because of what we're doing.
Absolutely. There's frustrations that can come up, and you may not even know that you're the cause of that behavior. So,
and there's a lot of frustration. We were in, we live close to the Villages in Florida, so probably a lot of people know about the Villages. And there was a gentleman there that he is living with dementia, but is a card master, card magician. And one of the things that we learn from, that Ed and I learn, is to listen to the person living with dementia. They're really insightful. And frustration comes from not being able to get some of the words out, how to speak, how to communicate in the way that we accept. Mm-hmm. And he actually described this as, I can see what I want to say, but I can't retrieve it.
Wow.
So when I see what I want to say, but I can't retrieve it to get it to you, how frustrating is that?
Absolutely. That's got to be. It's like a four-year-old that doesn't know how to explain things yet and has a temper tantrum.
It has a temper tantrum, yes.
And, you know, cries or doesn't want to eat their dinner. Or
their Brussels sprouts.
Right. Or they don't want to go take a bath.
Right.
Or they don't want to get dressed. And it's all those challenges that, you know, were very similar to childhood behaviors.
But with Alzheimer's and dementia, what we're actually doing is taking away their voice, too. by doing things and telling them what to do instead of giving them options to participate.
Correct, because we forget that this is a 75-year-old woman
who's taken showers all by herself all along.
Correct, and she may have been a teacher for 35 mm-hmm. years in a classroom and had control of 30 unruly students and was the master of her universe. And now she can't even master her own universe. And correct. We have to remember the dignity of that person inside. Up until recently, I owned a home care company, Assisting Hands Home Care, here in Pinellas County. And I used to tell my caregivers, remember, that's a person in there. And let's get to know as much as we can about that person. And I found that very often when somebody was agitated or just didn't seem to be themselves, they were out of sorts, if you kind of took them back in time a little mm-hmm. bit, it calmed the soul.
Oh, it certainly does. One of the other things that I heard from a person living with dementia in my support group that was pretty insightful, he would stand there in the morning after a good night's sleep, and he didn't really know who he was going to be when he opened up his eyes. And that's where we here as caregivers, care partners, oh, it's going to be a good day or a bad day.
Yeah.
And he's basically telling you that I don't know what day it's going to be because I don't know who I'm going to be. Really interesting insight that we kind of take for granted and don't understand why they're struggling with their language, why they can't get the words out, what is happening, it was easy before, why are they acting this way? The ABC of Dementia workshop really kind of goes into that, and then because I've been certified by Tiva Snow in the Positive Approach to Care for 10 years, we utilize that philosophy. We utilize the hand under hand. We explain what it does. It's magical, but it's also chemical. It's also some of the things that when we're dealing with a person with dementia, we need to work on their emotions, how we make them feel. And there we go again with most of your caregivers, spouses, adult children, family members. They believe that this person is going to forget them.
Yeah.
And they may forget their name because, remember, I'm having verbal problems, verbal skills to get it out. But I'm never going to forget who you are to me.
Right. They remember love. They know who's a safe person
sure.
when they walk in the
sure.
in the room and who maybe isn't somebody
so
that perhaps mm-hmm. helps them have that good day.
Correct. So I may not say your name. And you may actually be someone different to me, meaning I'm going backwards in time.
Yeah.
So you might not be my spouse, but you might be my sister. You
right.
might be my mother
right.
in some cases. Or that daughter or son is a toddler, mm-hmm. not a grown adult. So you're still a part of their memory. You're
right.
still a part of their life. It's just in a different role sometimes.
Yeah. I used to tell my caregivers, we had one client in particular, and I'll name her Jenny. And Jenny, we played improv every mm-hmm. day when we were there. And I would say to my caregivers, did you bring your costume? Did you bring your, and we had scarves and we'd put our hair up different because sometimes she'd get agitated with a particular caregiver. This is a caregiver that she had loved, but for some reason would get mm-hmm. agitated one day. And I'd say, just change it up, play a little improv, take on a new character today. And she ate that up.
Mm-hmm.
She just loved it. And so I said, sometimes, you know, you don't want to do XYZ, but you got to ham it up and
well,
roll
think
with
about
it.
How special Jenny feels.
Yeah.
That there's someone different coming in to meet her every day.
Exactly.
A great story when you're talking about improv. Don't argue with them. Don't try and correct them. They're
right.
living in a world. So if you're really having a bad day, sometimes going into a memory care community is really a good way to get rid of your bad day.
Right.
Ed and I were in a memory care community, and there was a gentleman sitting at the table. So I went up and said, well, good afternoon. My name is Debbie, and yours is? And he says, well, my name is Sam. I said, well, Sam, it's great to meet you. Can you tell me a little bit about you? He says, well, of course I can. I'm the Vice President of the United States. I said, no kidding. Well, we were talking about lunch and cooks and how he said, you know, everybody says the food is no good. I said, well, that's a pretty high ticket. You probably had your own chef. Well, that was a little bit difficult. The food wasn't that great either. But we went on to talk about how he was the President of the United States, the Vice President. His president was Johnson. He didn't go but one term, because I said, did you go one term or two?
Right.
He said only one term. So I'm giving him options to try and direct a conversation.
Uh-huh.
And he says, I only did one term because they didn't pick me as his running mate, so he lost. I said, amazing. He says, and there's still a lot of people that want me to run. I said, no kidding. I said, what are you going to do? He says, I'm not going to run. I can't interrupt a Barry Goldwater win.
Oh, my gosh. What a great moment.
So we're talking, but he was a very highly intelligent person. He was using words that we would never really expect from a person. He pronounced my name exactly correct.
Yeah.
So he had so much to offer. We must have had 45 minutes with him. But not only did it make me feel good to spend that time and direct a conversation, he felt special because
someone made him feel like the Vice President of the United States of America.
He was the Vice President.
And what a good day he had then.
It was a good day for us too.
Yeah.
So the ABC of dementia, we usually do this more than 40 times a year. It's a 2-hour workshop. We do it anywhere you want to do it. It doesn't matter. We have four wheels on our car and it goes. But this year so far, we are at 54 times that we have presented this 2-hour workshop.
And it's just ended July.
Correct. And we do this. Yesterday we were in a church. Most of the time we do it in churches, libraries. We're pretty lucky in our county, Citrus County. Everyone in our library system is trained. They go through this 2-hour workshop, and they go and do it as a refresh every 2 years. So you can walk into our library system in Citrus County, and if they feel that something is different with one of their patrons, they know who to call, and we work up a situation of how we can support that person.
Wonderful.
So it's really great. But, you know, there were 65 people in this workshop yesterday, and to listen to some of the diagnosis, to listen to how they got a diagnosis, mm-hmm. We have to support them in how are you going to care for you in the longevity of this disease.
Right, because this is not a sprint. This is a marathon that we're in for.
Yeah.
And it's not just a year or two. We've seen people go
a long
10,
time.
15 years. I mean, this is...
And we're not 20.
Yeah.
So the majority of folks are average going to be in their 70s or more.
Yeah.
So their person is, and all the care that they need is pretty difficult.
It's pretty intense. There's a lot of doctor's appointments.
Oh, doctors.
yeah, I mean, to just even start there,
right.
Let alone the essential daily skills that somebody may not have as well. Like that person may have been the cook in the household. I know we had
Correct.
A lot of husbands that all of a sudden are thrown into being chefs, mm-hmm. and they're not used to being the cook. They're used to having somebody bring food to them.
A really cute story was one of the caregivers that I had on my support group. He had to leave every time about an hour into the meeting. And I said, what's going on? He says, well, this is my cooking time. I said, what do you mean? He says, well, my wife is able. She's teaching me how to cook our favorite food.
Oh.
So every week at the same time, they would make it a date that she would, while she can, teach him. And I said, what were you doing today? He says, green bean casserole. So she was teaching him.
Her little secrets.
Correct. So
that's
that when
beautiful.
She was able, when she was no longer able, he was now able to sustain them. But, you know, another thing, you just said that you owned a home health company. We need to start implementing support because, you know, a lot of people here don't have family. We
yes.
moved to Florida to kind of get away from family.
You did, to get away, you know, that independence of, you know, the kids aren't leaving the house. We're leaving the house.
Right.
We're going to go down to Florida. We're going to go enjoy the sunshine, get out of the snow, get out of the cold weather.
But then life changes.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a beautiful thing. We have a pretty amazing system of home care agencies in the state of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Florida is well regulated by ACA, the Agency for Healthcare Administration. So there is licensing. I encourage people to use a licensed home care company.
Mm-hmm.
There are two different kinds of home care entities
Correct.
In the state, and it's important that you as a consumer
Knows.
Know what you're hiring, who you're hiring. So my agency was a home health agency. So what that means under licensing is that all of my caregivers were my employees.
Correct.
I covered their liability insurance, their workers' comp insurance. So if somebody had a slip and fall while they were in a client's home,
they were covered.
They were covered. The client wasn't going to have to worry about filing against their homeowner's insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave us a level of credibility in the home. We also did training. I told my caregivers where to go, what to do, when to do it, how to do it. And so I was responsible as the administrator of the agency to make sure that my caregivers did know when we had a client with Parkinson's versus a client with Alzheimer's dementia versus somebody with Lewy bodies dementia, how to go in. Mm-hmm. And each of those individuals require a different level of
Correct.
Person-centered care.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was my responsibility. And you should see that when you hire a home health agency. The other business model within the state of Florida is the nurse registry.
Correct.
Nurse registries hire individuals who are independent contractors. So just as somebody has to be background screened and reviewed in a home health agency, those people are also background screened in the independent contractor nurse registry model. But you as the family become the boss.
Correct.
You become the one who directs that care provider where to go, what to do, when to be there.
And that's difficult sometimes.
Sometimes it is. And sometimes, yeah. You know, I would have a family member that would call me up and say, you know what, Becky, this person's just not the right fit for me. That was then Becky's responsibility
Correct.
To say, hey, you're not the right fit, and shift them to somebody else.
Correct.
And maybe they needed some training. Maybe it took some coaching with that caregiver. But that was my responsibility as the business
owner. And personalities are very different. So
Absolutely.
We have to, sometimes that is a responsibility to get those personalities matched.
Right. And we are playing matchmaker.
Yeah.
And you know, I was like a yenta, matching up families, and that was always fun. But it is important from a liability perspective. Rates are pretty comparable from what I was seeing here
yes.
in Pinellas County
mm-hmm.
between a nurse registry and an agency. So you just need to ask. Both systems are out there because both work in different ways for different families.
And there is a connection in personalities, and also it doesn't matter if you feel comfortable with that person being there and you have a connection, then you utilize that. Whatever
Right.
way you can get support, I feel that it's really necessary to have support and a network that if something happens to you, you have someone to call.
Yeah.
And give your family a chance to get in.
That was really important. We were able to connect with a lot of long-distance families, and
mm-hmm.
we actually shared our care notes with the couple's permission. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They said, you know, I want my daughter to know what's going on and what we did today. So we actually had a family portal that we shared the notes
right.
with the daughters that lived in Texas and California, or, you know, San Diego and Houston, or wherever.
And I think the more transparent you can be as a caregiver, care partner, a company, it leads to a lot more responsibility to build a relationship yeah. at that point, not just become client provider.
Right. Trust and success definitely right. goes a long way. Well, it looks like we're coming up on some commercials here, because we know we can't be on the air if we don't have those wonderful companies that support Linda and her message out there. So we'll be back in just a few moments.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help, because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Sean W. Scott has been practicing elder law and qualifying clients for Medicaid for over 30 years. While his practice is in all areas of estate planning, such as durable power of attorney, healthcare surrogates, and wills, he also prides himself on having a 100% accuracy rate on getting clients approved for Medicaid. Why Medicaid, you may ask? Do you want to pay up to $16,000 a month for a nursing home should the time come? Obviously, no one wants to have to endure this cost. So, even though you may have planned well for retirement, the reality is, things happen. Planning ahead is never too soon. You need to make sure your income and assets are protected so that you can take care of you and your loved ones. Florida law is very specific on how and what is protected and how to protect it. Give Sean a call. He can help. 727-539-0181. That's 727-539-0181.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Right, and we're back. We got some new listeners out there that I want to welcome to the program. We've got Jim in Largo, Charisse in St. Pete, and Jenny in Tampa. So
great.
We thank you for joining us on Connecting Caregivers Radio. I'm Becky Moultrie. I'm here today with our guest, Debbie Selsavage.
Yeah.
And
it's great to come to Clearwater in the rain.
I know. Cleans the car off a little bit, doesn't it?
No, it hasn't been washed, because all we're getting is rain.
And then it gets spotty and all that.
Yeah.
One of the things we were talking about during the break was very often I saw this in my caregiving business, and I know you see it, Debbie, in your experience as you're talking to people, is when you have a couple and everything's going along well, and then the caregiving partner has some medical issues of their own.
That's a big question.
And we talked about that before the break, about backup systems, but the importance of having some kind of emergency plan in place, that if, oh my gosh, you get a diagnosis and you got to go have surgery next week, what are you going to do? So,
especially when family is not local.
Right.
And they may not be able to make the plans as quickly. So we talk about having a home health company on board. Because a lot of times what we see in probably every state, but in Florida where we are, neighbors become a lot of that emergency backup. And sometimes our neighbors are as elderly as we are.
Right.
And they have their own issues. So we really try to have a backup of suggesting of a home health company that in an emergency we can get a call into them. They might be able to supply us with caregivers until my family gets in.
Right.
To keep the person living with dementia or the one that needs the care to be able to have that care. You know, another thing that we're seeing too is that some of my care partners are getting bracelets.
Yes.
To say, I am a caregiver, especially if we're talking about accidents, because some people are driving more than they want to, but they're actually having bracelets that say, I am a caregiver for.
Yes.
And then it's my information is in my glove box, or they're at this address, so that they understand that I might have run to the store, but my person is home,
right,
sleeping, and that they need to have care. So there's a lot of things that we're starting to really touch upon that is really important. Self-care. What do I do in an emergency? When is the time right? That's another big question. When is the time right? You know, we're really lucky in Citrus County. Our first book that we wrote was called Coping with Dementia, and it's 6 years of us writing monthly columns for our paper. And it's listed as Coping with Dementia. So for 6 years, we've been writing. We've now expanded it because this book came out a couple years ago. So we're now into 8 years of writing Coping with Dementia articles. And those are some things that we touch on. They're 600 words to maybe 1,000. So it's real easy reading. But it's what is happening. So we kind of go off with, what is happening right now? Oop, that's a nice article. Let's see if we can get that out to the folks. What would be the options? You know, I think, Becky, what I have seen most often, and maybe you've seen in your practice, when people think they don't have an option, that really makes that a real desperate type of situation for them. And they can't think past, what do I do?
Right.
So when we go in as professionals to try and give them those options, give them a limited amount of options, not 25, but a limited amount of options that they can manage, they can really do a lot of problem solving for themselves.
Yeah, and just tick off some of those needs.
Yeah, just very easily do that. So having a support system, having a backup. A lot of folks don't really understand why their person is doing what they're doing.
Right.
That's where education comes in, and you mentioned education. Education for both the professionals and both the families.
Absolutely. And one thing that I love that you really focus on is the support group portion. Mm-hmm. Because you got to have somebody to vent to.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have somebody to talk to. And lo and behold, you get in that safe environment where you can talk about the kooky things that your partner may have done, or you don't understand why they're doing this one thing. And somebody else says, oh my gosh, I had that happen the other day too. And when you have that camaraderie, it really helps the mental, like, oh, like
thank
that
God,
deep
I'm not
breath.
Alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not alone in this. Because one thing we're seeing a lot more is caregiver burnout.
Oof, yeah.
And we're seeing some suicides.
Yeah, that was a tough situation. We just had one a couple of months ago happen in one of our assisted livings. As normal, it was a gentleman I had been speaking to, but his wife, they just moved her in about 3 weeks, a month ago. And, you know, when you start to wean a person off of some medications, what we didn't inform, or maybe what wasn't happening, is that the spouse didn't realize some things that might be said. Why did you dump me here? You abandoned me. I want a divorce. You don't love me anymore. It may not have been everything, but the person found out that he had an illness, and maybe he just didn't know what to do, and he went into the assisted living and took her out to the front porch, and they took both their lives.
Wow.
And a caregiver of mine, and then in another incident. So I think there's a high responsibility of us watching some of the signs. We always talked earlier about watching the signs of the caregiver, But we're really watching the signs of the person with dementia to help the caregiver. But what we're forgetting is the signs that we need to look at with the caregivers. It's really hard when we get that diagnosis. We feel that the life is over. What am I going to do? The expectation. There's not a lot of support.
Yeah.
And then if we have to place that person, the loss of purpose for them.
Right.
And then when that person is finally gone, what do I do with my life because it's been so focused on someone else? So we really have to be mindful about the whole picture.
Yes.
And I think we get very narrowed, but we have to look at the whole picture.
Yeah,
and the whole picture is that whole family dynamic.
Yeah, it's a couple that we're talking about. This is a family we're talking here. And we have to remember that these are two people. This is a married couple that has been one in their life, and when we have to split that apart, there's a broken heart there. So, you know, how do we address that, and what are we missing in these?
Well, I think we're missing some of the signs. You know, depression is part of the journey in dementia for both the person living with dementia and their care partners. What we have implemented in our support group is they have been through, we do this on Zoom, they've been with me through the whole COVID, so it's been, you know, 3+ years.
Yeah.
We've implemented opening up a dialogue on grief. And even though our person is still here, the definition of grief is a loss of any kind. That's a pretty broad statement.
Right. That's a big statement. Yeah.
So if you're experiencing a loss of any kind, that doesn't mean that my person is definitely gone. The loss is the experience of change in capabilities in their ADLs, their activities.
Right.
The added responsibility of what I have to do. So several of my care partners in my group are going through grief counseling, also grief support groups, to help them understand that this is okay, that this is normal. That what you're experiencing has to be acknowledged so you can move through it.
Right.
Because that person that's used to support you is no longer that person. So we have to find something else. What are we missing? This is a very complex dynamic, and families have dynamics,
yes,
unfortunately. And so we might say, where is the family? Like you said, where is the family in this situation? That's part of the dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be mindful of that. But I think we have to watch the signs. Are we seeing some of our care partners become more isolated? Maybe they're not getting enough sleep. Maybe they're not changing their clothes.
Right.
Maybe they're not eating right. We need to watch the whole picture. When I had to place my husband, Albert, I've talked to the person that took care of him. And I said to her, I had stayed away. I said, don't worry about it, I'll stay away. Because I thought that was the routine. And after about 2 days, she called me. And I've asked her since, why did you call me? What did you see that I needed? And all she said was, I know that you needed to be in the journey with Albert.
Mm-hmm.
So it was time that we show you how to be in the journey.
Yeah.
No, that's not what she said to me. It was when I asked her just a few weeks ago. But it makes sense.
Yeah.
We have to be part of the journey even though we've placed them.
Right.
Even though we've accepted home health.
Mm-hmm.
They need to teach us how to be in the journey with the new person.
Right.
So that's why I really love having the person living with dementia join us and feel comfortable about coming into the Zoom support groups. Because if we listen, we hear something that provides us the empathy to be better.
Yeah, those little nuggets, those little clues that they drop every once in a while that are like a bombshell. And you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know.
That's why they were doing what they were doing.
Yeah.
Because I'm not working on logic. See, that's our problem.
Yeah.
We are logical. They're emotional.
Yeah. We're process and, and everything happens for a reason. Yeah. And for them, it just... it's just there.
It's there. They're real.
Yeah.
And they're real, and they're working on how things make them feel. Are they safe? Are they cared for? Are they loved? That's what they're looking for.
So let's talk about that, and in light of Tipa Snow, because I love Tipa's positive approach to care, and talk about how you've incorporated that in your ABCs of dementia.
Well, when we're dealing with a person living with dementia, some of the senses that they're losing, we know, is a narrowed vision, comprehension, skill, dexterity, neuropathy. We understand all of that. So we have to work on how we approach a person. What's the volume? What's the approach as far as where are we approaching them? Are we scaring them? Are
right, because they jump. They get touchy and like, don't do that. Don't, you know.
And maybe they don't want to be touched. Mm-hmm. That's not our right to be able to touch them. So it is the approach. It is the volume. Everything. The positive approach to care is also something to know. When you're saying person-centered, you have to know who the person is you're mm-hmm. dealing with. And that doesn't take someone telling us. That could be the hat they're wearing.
Yes.
That could be the shirt they're wearing. It could be the pictures on the wall. It could be maybe what they're reading. We can figure out very quickly what that person is by us directing. And I'll give you a quick example. A gentleman came into our workshop. And I said, hi again, my name is Debbie. I'm really glad to see you. What's your name? He said, I'm Pete. I said, well, Pete, it's great to meet you. Can you tell me a little bit about yourself? What'd you do in your career? He says, I was a teacher. So now I know, okay, teacher. I said, huh, was it math or science? He says, it was math. I said, was it high school or middle school? Well, it was high school. I said, was it 20 years or more? He said, it was 35. So now I've got him going.
Yep.
And then it just took off.
And I love that you're asking him option questions. Is it A or is it B?
He doesn't
mm-hmm. have to think of what's that word high school?
Mm-hmm.
What's that number?
Mm-hmm.
You've given him a prompt.
And he takes off.
Yeah, and he just goes to town and then is carrying on.
It was actually
an engaging conversation.
It was actually so much fun because he came up to the front when we were getting ready to start, and I said, hey, Pete. He said, yes, ma'am. I said, I've really enjoyed our conversation, but I have to start and do our workshop. Would you mind taking a seat? He says, well, sure. Okay, I'll sit. But they asked some wonderful questions. They're concerned because they're aware that they're changing. And they are just as curious.
Yeah.
So they want to know. So it's really when we give them the safe environment, when we give them the options, we can find out so many interesting things that applies to their care. But also what we're doing is building a relationship. I think when we use the positive approach to care, we are wanting to build a relationship that will last for the next time.
Because mm-hmm. it's a new chapter we're in.
Yeah.
And the story's not over yet.
No, and not for them. And I think that if we learn to build a relationship, what will happen is now you become care partners.
Yeah.
To administer care together.
Yeah.
And that means I'm going to cue him. That means I'm going to help him sequence. I'm going to ask him to do the task, but I'm going to support him. So I think when we utilize the methodology of Tipa Snow, and we also utilize Naomi File to validate. You're doing a great job. I'm really glad that I'm here to support you. I'm not here to help. I'm here to support you.
Yeah. We're going to do it together.
Yeah, we're going to do it together. I'm here for you.
Because that's what they've been doing for 50 years. They've been married, and that's part of that married life is you've been doing it together. You raised the kids together. You bought that house together. The kids came along. You did all these things together, and then you retired together. And now
this
all of
is
a
not
sudden,
the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, all of a sudden we're having to live separately. What's up with that?
Right.
That's not what we ever intended.
Right.
So, you know, how do we work through that together? That's a beautiful
thing.
And
I think if we can get the right education, which is out there, we ask the right questions. It's unfortunate that a lot of our health industry, like our physicians, are not so well voiced in dementia, which is technically not something they were trained about. We are in the biggest population coming into this disease. So we really have to see how we find the resources. That's what Linda does. She puts people together that are providing resources. That's what Coping with Dementia does. I don't have all the answers, but we need to find the people that do have the
right.
answers.
And if you can introduce me to somebody who may have the answer, it gets me one step closer.
And
to
I have another
peace.
Resource that I might be able to utilize for someone else.
Yeah.
So, and that's what we do. We put on a Coping with Dementia conference every year. That's what Linda does. And you're providing people with resources. This year, it's kind of exciting because the Villages, the Sumpter County Sheriff's Department, is sponsoring a Coping with Dementia conference in the Villages. It'll just be much bigger, but it's about resources, not necessarily omitting going into assisted living care or long-term care or omitting doing home health, but also providing them resources while they're at home.
Yeah.
What's the day programs? What's the respite programs?
Love it.
And so how am I going to manage staying at home and then finding the time when I want to implement other support?
Right. So it's kind of like you get your playbook together.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Say, okay, you know, I'm not quite ready for this recipe yet.
But
I know that someday we're going to be going to that point of life. So let's tuck that away in my book.
Right.
So when and if that happens, it's out there. Well, good. Well, when we come back from our break, we can talk a little bit more about that conference that's coming
sure.
up in the Villages. But right now, we're going to go and listen to our sponsors.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week, so check them out.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Introducing the life-changing Footbar Walker.
I'm Peggy from Danville, Kentucky, and I'm 91 years old. The Footbar Walker revolutionized my care of George. It absolutely benefits the patient and the caregiver both, and that's the beauty of it. It's so easy to use. It folds up just like a dream. I got it in and out of the car without any effort at all. The saving that I made from having to put him in a nursing home came to about $192,000.
Does someone you love use a walker? Do they struggle to get up from a seated position? Are you a caregiver dealing with physical pain and stress as you help your patient? The Footbar Walker was designed to assist not only the patient, but also the caregiver. Patients have more control standing up, and no lifting from the caregiver is required. See how it works at thefootbarwalker.com. That's thefootbarwalker.com. Peggy, would you recommend the Footbar Walker?
Do I ever? I would not be in the health that I'm in today at this age had it not been for the Footbar Walker.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on the air. We're coming up on the end of the show here.
Mm-hmm.
Debbie, I want to talk about that conference that's coming up.
Yes, ma'am.
Up in the Villages. Can you tell us a little bit about where people might go to find out more info about it?
In our newsletter, we'll have a link. Registration will start August 1st. And we're opening it up to about 300 people, which we're excited about. And we'll have lots of resources that are going to encompass Lake, Marion, and Sumner County. So we're really excited to partnering.
Yeah,
we're really excited. We do a lot of work and workshops in the Villages area. But we're really excited that the Sumner County Sheriff's Department, who offers a lot of resources, they have a wonderful tracking watch program that they provide 100 watches out there for free. So we're really excited about partnering with them. They realize that this is something that has been really impactful on their resources too. As we have seen with other, we're lucky enough to do a lot of crisis intervention training with deputies, doing a lot more with law enforcement, that because this has been so impactful, powerful on their resources to be able to have some other resources in their toolbox, like we just said last, to be able to call and have someone come out and visit with them. What are the options for some of these folks instead of doing what they might have to do?
Okay, good. So your website is coping.today.
Mm-hmm.
So coping.today, and they can go and sign up.
We will have a link. Newsletter. If they'd like to, they can go ahead and email us at deb@coping.today. I can send them the link, or we can get them on our newsletter. Our newsletter will go out this weekend with the link to start registration. We've already had some people that have called us to get on the list for the link.
Yay! That's awesome.
We're excited. We're hoping that we will have more than 300 people there with our resources. Lots of different options. You know, we haven't even talked a lot about part of that support is our hospice organizations, to implement them sooner rather than later, to get evaluations. They can support us in ways, especially when it comes to doing some activities of daily living like showering.
Yes.
That becomes very hard on our care partners to do that. And sometimes a third party, a home health company or just somebody else, can do that a little bit easier.
They can. There's some credibility when that professional, air quote, comes in and says, okay, we're going to go do this. And all of a sudden, your wife, who would never go get in the shower, is like, oh, okay, here we go. You know, they make like a thing out of it. You know, it's like, oh, spa day.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, she's had a shower and
you didn't have to do it. Right. So sometimes it works. And we'll have lots of different things going on, but it's really, really to showcase resources that could possibly help with the journey for as long as they need while they're at home.
Right.
Or when they decide to do something else, we have some options
for them. You have options and you have choices. I think having choices is a very important thing when you are caring for someone.
And to listen to, we didn't even get into it too with a lot of the power of attorneys. So having an attorney explain to them how important this is.
Yes.
And when you get a diagnosis of dementia, this has to be done sooner. You can't wait to get those types of things in place so that someone else can speak for you.
Right, because you want to, it's just like when you can't handle the remote control anymore, who do you want making those remote control choices for you? And what are those choices that you want?
Correct.
It's so important to get those verbalized and documented early on, as soon as you know there is a diagnosis.
There's so much when you are taking a responsibility for someone else. There's so much, and you need to get to the professionals to understand your situation.
Right.
I'm not an attorney, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a nurse, but we need to get you to understand that those things are important to have in your team.
Yes. Yes, it is. So important. Now, when is that conference coming? What's the date
October on that? October 30th.
October 30th. And is that going to be a day-long event?
It is a day-long. It's usually about 9:30 to about 3:30. We'll have probably six speakers. We will have a light lunch, light breakfast, and it's a great day. It's a full day, and we've been very blessed to have people living with dementia that will come through that conference because we have live music and being in the villages, there's all kinds of things that
we can
do.
So they can come along for the party.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So we'll have some stuff going on. It'll be a lively day. In the fall, hopefully a little bit cooler.
Oh, my goodness gracious. The heat is just a killer, isn't it?
My goodness.
And that's another thing. You know, we want to make sure that our persons are safe. Dehydration, when a caregiver is feeling rather stressed, they don't look after themselves as much, too.
They tend to forget about those self-care things.
So we need to just keep an eye on all people involved when they start the journey of dementia, and they start to involve the professionals. When we come across someone, we must be a little bit more mindful of how we can support them.
Got it. Well, it's been a pleasure being here
with
you today, Debbie.
Thank you very much. Sorry Linda was gone to New York. I miss her.
Yep, and we miss you, Linda. Linda will be back next week. And my apologies to those out there on Facebook. I forgot to hit the live button at the beginning, so we got a little abbreviated. But we thank you for being here with us today. Like us on Facebook on the Connecting Caregivers Radio page. We look forward to spending some time with you again next week. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.